Shall we turn to Judges chapter 3, verse 31? Judges 3, 31. Okay, I'm going to read just one verse, which because this character that I'm talking about, he has only one verse that is mentioned about him. Okay, but a great man of God. Okay, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he delivered Israel. Okay, I'm going to title my message, The Man Who Is Ready When the Need Arises. The man who is ready when the need arises. There is no break between the second judge and the third judge. Okay, because God doesn't even bother to describe the children of Israel forsaking him and he raising up a leader to deliver them from the Philistine. Shamgar was the third judge. Okay, Shamgar was the third judge. The first judge was Othniel. The second judge was Ehud. The third judge is Shamgar. The name Shamgar, okay, is a Hurrian name. Hurrian name. A Hurrian name means that you are from the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Assyrian. Okay, the Assyrian. Okay, but we know that Jacob family, okay, Abraham came from Syria. From Syria. So there is still a little bit of confusion. Okay, a group believe that he is a Hebrew, another group doesn't believe that he is a Hebrew. The reasoning in they say that he is the son of Anath. Okay, the name Anath means that he is from, it's a place from northern Israel, which is actually Syria. Okay, but then some people say that it could also mean Beth Anath. Beth Anath is in the city of Galilee. But the name Anath, Anath is the father of Shamgar. Okay, the name Anath suggests that there is a deep root of paganism. Okay, Anna is like Abraham's family, Terah. They worship idols. So Anna suggests there is a deep root of paganism in the family background. Shamgar is known as a minor judge, but this he's minor because of the small amount of scripture verses that is mentioned about him. Shamgar is one of the six minor judges of the book of Judges because not much is written about them. Yet the work they did for God is just as important as any other one's work. Shamgar was a man of great accomplishment, yet one verse described his work. Little is said about Shamgar, yet his story is so well known. His exploit is so well known, they have to include him in the Judges. They cannot forget what this man has done. What can be said about Shamgar? There's a few things that we can talk about Shamgar. Number one, he is a nobody. The name Shamgar means cupbearer or surprise stranger. Surprise stranger who arises at the appropriate time when the need was there. Shamgar was God's cupbearer and the surprise stranger that God uses. In spite of his hedonistic background, Shamgar became God's cupbearer and he served the true and the living God. He's like Abraham. Okay, his family background were paganistic, but Abraham left them and worshiped God. Shamgar left the family and worshiped God. It reminded of each and every one of us. Okay, for me, I came from a very paganistic background. Okay, I was a Taoist, Buddhist Taoist. In my house for many years, I can never forget the setup of my house. In the living hall, there is a god. If I go to the kitchen, there is another god, the kitchen god. If I go to the entrance of the door, the entrance into my house, we worship another god. So I come from a paganistic background. How about you? Some of you, many of you, some of you, you worship saints. You have statue in your house where you pray to. Well, some of you, you protest, Pastor, you're wrong. I don't worship those statues. I respect them, Pastor. Okay, you simply respect it. Well, you think that putting God in a box, okay, in a casing, or on top of a statue, that he would be able to deliver you, your family, irrespective of your covenant-breaking background that God has demanded of you. You thought that you have trained God. By putting him, you trained God to be there to deliver you whenever the need arises. That is actually the essence of idolatry. The making of a graven image, however much you may protest that you are merely, it is merely symbolic, Pastor, symbolic na lang. Inevitably, it has the effect of reducing the invisible God, the infinite sovereign God, to a man-sized predictable representation. God tells you truthfully, it's simply idolatry. Give the breakaway from it. Like I broke away. And the day, I remember when I broke away in 1979, the Red Sea opened, the floodgate opened. It was not overnight, but I start to see the hand of God in my life, the hand of God in my family's life. Then my mom start to throw away the idols. My dad start to throw away the idols. And my mom and the dad start to get born again. And my brothers and my sister, they start to follow suit. And the channel of blessing continue to flow. The rivers of God's presence continue to flow in my family until today. They are still blessed. There is a God in our family right now. Okay, same thing with all of you. You have to break away. You have to break away. You have to make a stop at it. Okay, if you don't do it, God is a jealous God. I remember the owner of our Quezon renter place. He is a rich man, okay? I went to his house. He's quite close with Pastor Lily and I. Okay? He has a Buddha God. He has a Jesus God. He has a Mary God. He believes in necromancy. Geomancy. Your house must be at this side, feng shui, at this side, then you have the blessing. Whatever God I have, many more gods, more blessing. India has 1 trillion God. Is India very blessed? No. America don't have idols. Supposedly a Christian nation. But your country has idols. Who is the most powerful country in this world? America. So you think properly, you have to break away. You have to break away from the paganistic family. When I say break away, I'm not saying that you leave the house, okay? I'm saying that I don't believe the belief of my family. Then we can become God's cupbearer. We can become God's surprise stranger when a need arises. Okay, I read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Totally describe us. Take a look, friends, at who you were when you got into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many influential. Not many high society families. Look at our church. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooked and exploit and abuses? Chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. God called the somebodies hollow. God called the somebodies pretentious. Do you feel like a nobody? Praise God. Hallelujah. You are nobody. There's hope for a nobody. My first point, he is a nobody. So we see here God used a no name, a nobody, probably a peasant farmer, because he uses an ox goat. God's requirement for each and every one of us is not ability, but availability. It has always been so, because God's way is never our ways. He will use whomever will trust him and obey him. But one individual, and deal with God's power, can accomplish impossible tasks against evil forces. No matter how entrenched and how powerful you are, okay, this enemy, how entrenched and how powerful the enemy is, God can use you to destroy the powerful enemy. I remember on the 1st of January, the first day of the year 2022, I say to God, God, I want to have a useful life. I want my life to count. I don't want my life to be like a daily routine. I want to do something for the kingdom of God. But God, I'm praying with trepidation, fear, on what can come after I pray this prayer. But I'm willing and available. I only ask one thing from you, God. And that is just be with me wherever I face, whatever I face. God did exactly that. I prayed. And something happened on January 2, the second day, the next day. Something happened. But I felt the invisible hand of God with me throughout. There was one night, the devil lied to me that things would go out of hand. Then the devil brought me back to Quezon Street, Quezon, when our church was there. And I have the same feeling as I have in Quezon. There was a lot of stirring, there was a lot of problem. Then I woke up, I said, no. And I look at the air, I said, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ. This shall not happen. I come against you, evil forces. I just renounce you, rebuke you. And suddenly, I felt the peace of God. And I just felt that, hey, God is in charge. I don't have to feel that way. I don't have to feel that way as I felt in Quezon Street. And I felt the peace of God back. And I felt that things would be all right. And God did exactly what I prayed for. He delivered me. And things turned out well in the end. God answered my prayer. It's so scary. God can take your word for it. Like January 1, I prayed. And January 2, something 2, did it. But God asks you, do you want your life to count? Do you want your church to count? I say, God, I want my life to count. I want my church to count. So if you really want your life to count, if you really want your church to count, the devil will not be happy. And you, are you prepared for it? And God deliver. I want you to read something, okay? If you are nobody in the hands of God, I want to read something to you, and I want you to watch closely the word, okay? It says this. We don't want you to be in the dark, friends, about how hard it is when all this came down on earth. For him, it's Asia province. I don't know. Maybe COVID-19. Maybe financial. Maybe family problem. You are having something. How hard it is when this came down on me. It was so bad, which we never didn't think we are going to make it. We felt that we have been sent to the death row, that it was all over us. But as it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened in your life. Instead of trusting in our own strength and wit to get out of it, we were forced to trust God totally. Not a bad idea, since He's the God who raises the dead. And He did it. He delivered us and rescued us from certain doom. But the last verse is the most powerful. And He will do it again. Rescuing us as many times as you need rescuing. I'm telling you, He will do it again. As many times as you need rescuing. Number two, He uses the foolish things of this world. 3:31. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anak, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. The foolish thing here is the ox goad. The ox goad. Okay, I'm going to show you a picture, okay? Okay, this is Shamgar. Shamgar, okay? This is Shamgar. We are going to change this multimedia projector, okay? But I went around Ilolo City. I just want to understand. Because of COVID-19, there's no multimedia projector. Just imagine, okay? But never mind, this is our topic. Shamgar. You look at him. Shamgar is a very popular character. Pastor Lily told me that, hey, because I asked Pastor Lily, can you look at my Christ-centric part? Is it accurate or not? They said, why are you doing Shamgar? She said, do you know that Pastor James touched on Shamgar? Then Pastor James has a sermon on Shamgar. I said, I don't know. But it's too late to send it to me to have a look at it. Then I realized, hey, when she said that, I went to the internet. Okay, I don't get my internet. My sermon from the internet, okay, I I go through commentaries. I go through free Bible commentaries. I go through a lot of commentaries, and my library has commentaries also. I go through pulpit commentaries. So please understand that. But I realize that Shambhala is very popular in the internet. Very popular. So, why? Because Shambhala was a nobody. And God is very interested in nobodies. God is looking for nobodies. The foolish thing here is the ox goat. The ox goat was, you look at the ox goat here, 6 to 8 feet length. It is taller than Shamgar. You see, probably it's actually taller than Shamgar. With a bigger end, with a 6 inches in circumference. You look at the end, it's like a ball. Okay, it looks like a ball. 6 inches in circumference used to control the ox. At the other end was a small metal piece. It's a tapered metal piece, okay, tapered. A small metal tip with a massive, which is massive for cleansing and taking the dirt out of the plow. Taking the dirt out of the plow. You know, when you use a plow, there's a lot of dirt on the plow, right? This stick is used to remove all the dirt. In the hand of a powerful man, such an instrument must be more dangerous and fatal than a sword. During the time of the Israelite, they don't have iron weaponry. Okay, that's why the Philistines were very strong, because they are into the age of the iron weaponry. So the Philistine, the Israelite, they hired Philistine, blacksmith, to sharpen the goats. The iron part is done by the Philistines, Philistine blacksmith. Okay, they do it for the pointed end or metal casing, for the blunt end used to knock out dirt. Goat can be used for weapon. That's why God said to Saul, why must you kick against the prick? Why must you kick against the goat? Okay, how can you? You just imagine, there's a sharp metal piece, you use your leg to kick against the sharp metal piece. You will injure yourself. That's what Jesus is trying to say. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. You know, the Bible is so interesting. God used the unimaginable, the small things, the foolish things to deliver people. He used Ehud's dagger. He used Shamgar's ox goat. He used Jael's hammer and tack pack. He used Gideon's trumpet, jar, and torch. He used the woman's millstones. He used Samson's jawbone. I love Judges. You know why I love Judges? Because it believes and it gives hope to imperfect, ordinary people like each and every one of us that can be put into good use. Joseph Parker said this: what is a feeble instrument in the hand of a man is a mighty instrument in the hand of another, because this man has a spirit that burns in his heart, burns with determination to accomplish the work of God that God has given him. Brisinger said this: it's often been said that you can be too big for God to use, but you can never be too small. Wow. You cannot be too small. The overwhelming majority of people who makes up the church today are always ordinary. Look at our church. The majority of the people in our church are the ordinary people. The Lord, however, used ordinary people to do extraordinary things. In the word of Leslie Newbegin, the church is not an organization for spiritual giants, but church is composed of broken men and broken women who can lead others to Christ. Your broken life, your broken family, God can use to lead others to Christ, so that when everything happens, all the glory goes to God. The Shamgars of the past, not to mention the countless of others who don't even have a single verse in the Bible. Shamgar has at least one verse. Many of us, all of us don't even have one single verse in the Bible. We are the unnoticed. We are the modestly equipped people who faithfully carry out God's work in God's kingdom. That's why those of you that are cell leaders, you don't think your work is not important. Nobody notice what you do. You look at those people that goes to the community to bring the kids, to bring people to church. Nobody notice. Nobody will say, hey, God bless you. You did a good job. Nobody. I remember Pastor Lily and me. We were nobody, but we were on fire for God. So we started with maybe 10 or 12 people. Every Sunday in Singapore, we go out to the malls and we share the gospel directly. Then it grew. It grew. It grew. You know, it grew until it became 200 people every Sunday that grew up. But we were two of the pioneers. And we develop and we gather and become more and more and more. Nobody noticed us, but God noticed us. And God said, okay, two of you, I want you to go to become missionaries. So you cannot say that I am nobody in the hands of God. You can be somebody. I give you an example, another example. Okay? Hudson Taylor was 30 years as a missionary in China. In his 30 years, he has seen 600 missionaries respond to the call of God to China through the China Inland Mission. And he said this, God is sufficient for God's work. God chose me because I was weak enough. God does not do his great work by large committees. He trains someone to be quiet enough, little enough, and then he uses him. You look at today China. Okay, China today has 115 million Christians, even though it's a communist country. I can decide to buy a property, then we just build a church here. We can, the government approve. You cannot do that in China. Okay, any Christian, this 115 million Christian, they can come to the city of any city, Shanghai, Beijing, and say, we want to build a church, we want to build a big church. The government will come and tear it down. That's what happened to one pastor. He built a church, and the pastor came and tore down. And there's no church, except those government-controlled church. There is government, they preach the doctrine of the government. There's no church, yet they have 150 million Christians. Where did this come from? You trace to the 600. This was before communism, before 1949. You trace back to one man, Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor, one man. Just one man. By that standard, which is God's standard, all of us qualify because we are all nobody. We are all nobody. We are all nobody. The issue is not whether he can use you or not for his glory. The question is, can you trust him to use you? There's a story of this guy called Telemachus. He proved to be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful for the master's use, prepared for God's good work. No, in the 4th century, by the 4th century in the world, the whole world was Christianized. Okay? Because Constantinople declared the world, the Roman Empire, a Christian country. The monk named Telemachus wanted to live his life. He just wanted to live his life in pursuit of God. So he went to live away from the crowd, in the desert, praying, fasting, and meditating. One day as he prayed, he realized that he was totally wrong. His life was based on the selfish love of God, not a selfless. If he were to serve God, God told him, you must serve man. So he decided to go back to the city. The city is where sin is. That's why we say that try not to send your children to Christian church. Send them to those public schools so that they can evangelize, they can win the souls. So God wants you to go he was asked to go back to the world where there is man, there is sin in the world. So when he arrived, it was just a time. The Roman general, Seutico, the Roman general has won a great victory over the Roth, R-O-T-H-S. And Rome was officially a Christian nation. So as a result, people flood into the churches. The whole country of the world flood into churches. So it was a Christian Rome. But yet there's one problem. There's still the gladiator games. Christians are not asked to be gladiators because they have become Christian. They are not thrown to the lion's den anymore. Okay? But the prisoner of wars, those who have lost the war against the Roman Empire, were cast into the arena to fight for each other and kill each other. Spectators roar with blood as the gladiators battle. And Telemachus was walking through the street and he heard a loud sound. He just walked, followed towards the direction, and here and behold, he saw 80,000 people flooded the Colosseum of Rome. It's very big. Pastor Lily, we were there. 80,000 people were there. Following the noise, he went in and he was aghast. He was shocked that two gladiators were fighting against one another. Men for whom Christ has died were about to kill each other to amuse a supposedly Christian populace. So he jumped down and stand between the two gladiators. The crowd was very angry. The crowd said, "Kill him! Remove him!" But they did not kill the holy man because he was a monk. They did not kill him. But they say, they challenge him, "Remove him! Remove him!" But the more they remove him, the more he went to the center. So finally they say, "Kill him!" So the game owner gave the signal and one of the gladiators just sliced him off and killed him straight. When he was killed, there was a silent hush because he was supposedly Christian. Shocked that a holy man had been killed. The game ended abruptly that day. And since that day, there is never another game for the gladiators. The historian Edward Gibson said, "His death is more useful to mankind than his life." So I ask you, what is in your hand? Shamgar's hand was an ox goat which he slew 600 Philistines. What is in your hand? He can simply use it. There's another person that I'm reminded of that looks like Shamgar, which is none other than Moses. Moses has a shepherd's staff. Shamgar has an ox goat. But if you look properly, can we see Shamgar's picture again? He looks like Moses. And both has Moses has the shepherd staff, Shamgar has the ox goat, but both were used to control animals. A common response of people, like each, maybe today, like each of you, your response is like Moses. A common response when you look at what God wants to use you, the reply is, "Pastor, it's very hard. You look at COVID-19. I'm not properly trained. I'm not qualified even. I don't know how to share the gospel to anyone. I have no training. I'm not properly equipped." These are the common excuses that people give when they realize that a need has arisen. This was displayed in the life of Moses. He said this in verse chapter 4, verse 1. "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, 'The Lord has not appeared unto thee.'" They will not believe me. I'm nobody. They will not listen to me. I'm not intellectual. They will say, "Who are you? My voice is not good. I cannot even quote the scripture verses properly." No, God said to him, verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2. "And the Lord said unto him, 'What is in your hand?'" I ask you today, what is in your hand? The answer to God's question was, Moses has a shepherd's staff. Shamgar has an ox goat. Throughout history, God has a wonderful habit of using whatever a man possess if the person is simply dedicated and yielded to God. Among other things, God used a stick to float and exhale. God used a coat to divide the Jordan River. God used a fish to help Jesus and the 12 disciples pay their income tax. God used a couple of pennies that Jesus was so blessed and talked about her. God used a slingshot to kill a Goliath. God used a jawbone to kill thousands of Philistines. God used a rock to bring forth water. God used some loaf of bread to feed 5,000 and 7,000 people. The Almighty Creator has the ability to use any ordinary object that is not yielded to Him, that is yielded to Him in faith, and use it for His mighty work. So examine what is in your hand. What is in your hand? Brothers and sisters, all of us has one common weapon, the Word of God. The Word of God. It may be presented in different aspects, but it is the only one that men of faith use in the warfare. I heard people say, "Oh, we don't have the best method and the latest method." It is fine to have good methods, but what about the message, which is really the Word of God? It is fine to have aeroplanes. It is fine to have transport missionary. But when you reach the mission field, the missionary are not there to have community project, educational school. The community, the work of the missionaries are there to share the Word of God. The Word of God. Oh, some of us, we say, oh, we like television. Yeah, television has now been used to become prostitute for a money-churning industry. To the intellectual and the unbelieving world, it is the Bible, you say. It's just for children, for women, for uneducated people, full of fiction and contradiction. Yet this is the instrument despised by many people. It is an instrument where the folly of man is seen through, for the weakness of God is made stronger than man. It's written for the unlearned. It is written for each and every one of us. Let us use the Word of God. Bring the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Let the Word of God not collect dust. You know, many a time, Pastor Lily will come to me and say, dear God spoke to me. Spoke to you about what? The Word of God. And what she tell me, we'll say, okay, we will follow the instruction of God. We'll do it. The Word of God. You don't become a Christian, just a Christian. You must be a Christian that knows the Word of God well. Lastly, the influence of example. Judges 3:31 starts with, after him, after who? After Ehud. After him has a significance. Ehud inspired a Shamgar. Elijah inspired a Elisha. Moses inspired a Joshua. Jesus inspired 12 disciples, the 120 and the 500 that evangelized the world. I call this the influence of example. Shamgar, the son of Anak, who followed Ehud, got a victory over the Philistine. He also delivered Israel. Ehud's mighty sword was the dagger. His mighty sword was the ox goad. He said this, if Ehud can use a dagger, I can use an ox goad. Do you know that we all always look for a Superman? Let's be very honest. Why are you so interested about the election? Because you are looking for a leader to deliver your country. We look for a Superman. That's why the Avenger makes so much money. Because in our heart, we need somebody. We need to have someone that we want to pattern up. If somebody is like that, we can be also be like that. The influence of example. One of the richest, okay, you listen carefully, this is the most important, I'm finishing soon. One of the richest and most rewarding part of the Christian life is the development of a godly character through the power of the Holy Spirit. I repeat again, one of the most exciting, richest, and rewarding part of the Christian life, each and every one of us, is the development of a godly character through the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the CDC. The CDC helps us to develop the godly character through the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people never develop much character. You never develop much Christian character because it's so hard to develop the Christian character. I was talking to Brother Robert. He was telling, Pastor, I said, how are you in your work? Oh, I said, are you tired? You're always driving to Antigua. Are you very tired? Oh, Pastor, I do brisk walking. I say, what is brisk walking? Oh, brisk walking is fast-paced walking. I do it 6 times a week or 5 to 6 times a week, and I do it for 40 minutes. Brisk walking is fast. I will just walk fast. Okay, and exercise. Walk fast for 40 minutes, which cover 3.5 kilometers every 40 minutes. He did that. And he said that, Pastor, after I did that, I feel fresh. I don't get tired because he drove for Antique to our cell group. So I said, are you tired? No, Pastor, I feel okay. Actually, I can drive back again now and won't get tired. He said, wow. He said, Pastor, because the brisk walking helps me in my health and gets me alert, more alert, and I don't feel so tired anymore. But he said something that really catch my attention. He said, Pastor, do you know that? He was making a very strong statement, but in his own way, he said, it takes 2 to 8 months to develop a habit. So he's saying that he took 2 to 8 months to develop the habit of brisk walking. He said, once he developed it, he said, my body craves for brisk walking. I don't need to force myself anymore. The body just wants to have brisk walking. How about spiritual exercise? Spiritual exercise. The development of a godly character. I'll be very honest with you. There was one time I fasted for 100 days, am I correct? It was those months that I developed very good spiritual exercise, to tell you very honestly. I received a lot of revelation from God. But then I went back to Singapore for 20 months. All the exercise, the spiritual exercise is totally affected. So when I came back, that's why I put on 10 kg. My body health is not good, but my spiritual health is not as good as before. So when I came back, I tell you, it was very hard. And until today, I'm trying to get back to my spiritual exercise again. But I repeat, one of the richest and most rewarding part of the Christian life is the development of godly character through the power of the Holy Spirit. The crux of it is this. As the result of the spiritual exercise, there is transformation of personal weakness to character strength. It is the building of attributes that is deep-rooted in the Word of God that becomes a solid foundation, the moral and ethical thinking that is based on the Word of God. It is the place where you develop great hope, great faith, great confidence. When you have spiritual exercise, you will face things with great faith, great hope and confidence in life. It is what turns a person that is lost and always fearful. You know, because of this COVID, this Omicron, right now we are always so fearful. No! God has not given you a spirit of fear. God has given you confidence. When Robert come to my house, there's suspicion that Jackie is going to have COVID-19. Because she was in touch with someone that is positive for COVID-19. But as they were going home, going to the gate, everybody was there. Say, Robert, I'm believing that Jackie will be negative. Pastor Lily gave her the kit test. ALT test. This morning, Robert, Pastor, Jackie is negative. I'm not saying I'm powerful, but at that moment, you will develop great hope, great faith, great confidence, and trust in the promises of God in our life. I tell you, one of the best exercises in life is development of a godly character. You believe me, it takes a lot of hard work, spiritual exercise. David was such a person. If you are a vice president of the human resource department of your company, you will choose the best candidates, right, to run your company, right? You will not choose the 400 men of David that are in debt, distressed, discontented, rebellious. No, I don't think so. But that's God. That's what God sent to David. Because David was the real deal. David has developed godly character. You know, the time before he was called, he was always taking care of the sheep. But there's a hunger, there's a cry. And he's always playing his harp. That's why he was so good in displaying his harp that Saul has to play to soothe the soul of Saul. So he played the harp, and as he played, he was just crying out for God. I ask you, have you ever time in your life you just cry to God? God, I just want to serve you. I just want to be useful for you. I remember in the early years of my Christian life, I would take a bus to the army because I have to serve the army for 2 years. And the wind would be blowing, and I'll open the window and the wind would be blowing, and I'll be singing songs. They'll be crying out, saying, God, I want to serve you. My favorite song is, I will serve thee because I love thee. God heard my cry. But one of the greatest development was development of the godly character. David had developed godly character and leadership and was ready to impart it to others. God knew David can be trusted.
God knew David is the real deal. God knew that David can transform these 400 men into men after God's heart. You know, many years ago, I tell frankly, God told me clearly that the composition of my church, or rather not our church, our church, will be men, they are discontented. Men, they are in debt. I remember there are those people, they're in debt, and Pastor Lily got to bail them out. And after they bail, Pastor Lily bailed them out, they will forget to come to church. Pastor Lily, whole life saving in Singapore, just give it to this lady, and she was crying, so Pastor Lily gave her, and she took all the money, and she never come to church anymore. Pastor Lily was very hurt. In debt, distressed, discontented, rebellious. God told me that. This church, the church will be composed of this. But God told us, we are to faithfully transform them into giants. What God requires of us is development of godly character and the dedication to God. If you read through the life of David, I tell you, it's so interesting. It's so interesting. You will discover that these 400 men became great warriors like David. They developed godly characters and learned to trust God. They were like David. They were killers of a number of Goliaths. Real Goliaths, relative of the original. I can never forget. This one man with one sword, he killed 1,000 people. I just want you to imagine, how do you kill 1,000 people? One man. Isn't that one of the Avengers? 1,000 men. Another man, he used a sword and he killed until the sword cannot leave his arm. He's so tired, the sword cling on to his palm. But they wrought great victories. How did they become like that? They were looking at David. If David can do it, I can also do it. David shined in the hardest of time. He mentored others in the hardest of time. He did so because whether he was alone or with an army of mighty men, he knew where his strength and help come from. It was the core of his character. I ask you, in the hardest of time, in your hardest of time, where is your strength? Where is your dependence on? No, I'm asking you. You know, I came back from Singapore here because I know that, no, I cannot stay there. Okay, Singapore is, I tell you, it's different. It's really different. There's no brownout. You know, tap water, you can drink. You don't have to boil the water. You just drink from the tap. You just take out the tap. You just drink from the tap. At 2 a.m. in the morning, Pastor Lily, we were very hungry. Like, we just walk out in the street. There's food and we eat the food. Everything is there. But God said, you come back. I said, yeah, I come back. What does it profit you? You gain the whole world, but you lose your soul. No, I'm asking you, what does it profit you? You gain the whole world, but you lose your soul. Brothers and sisters, as you continue your day to day, understand this. Trouble comes to everyone's life. Please believe me and know this. When you purpose to stand strong in faith and prayer, knowing that God is working behind the scene on your behalf, which He did, He really did in January 1 and 2, to turn what the devil meant for evil to become good, that is the greatest times of your character development. Do your spiritual exercise. As it was for David, he became a great power and gift of influence. I pray that it is the same with each and every one of us. I read, I close. The last verse, Psalms 33, 16 to 23. I'm going to read slowly, and you understand clearly. The best equipped army cannot save a king. So don't trust in Bong Bong or Lenny. Nor is a great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you a victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you. Bong Bong and Lenny cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear Him. Those who rely on His unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of COVID-19. In times of famine. We depend on the Lord alone to save us. Only He can help us. Protecting us like a shield. In Him, our heart rejoices. For we are trusting His holy name. Let Your unfailing love surround us, Lord. For our hope is on You alone. Amen. You know, our greatest influence of example is none other than Jesus Christ. Look at the 12 disciples of Jesus and look at each and every one of us. You look at Mark. He ran away from the call of God. Look at Peter. He denied Him 3 times. Look at James and John. They were people, they are very, very, they are thunderous people. They are very quick-tempered people. Look at Iscariot. He was a zealot. Okay, maybe he's a communist. Look at Matthew. He's a tax collector. He took money. He took bribes. Look at Peter. He's a fisherman. We are all like them. We deny Him. We forsake Him. We went back to our previous lifestyle. He still went to the cross for us. He still went to the cross for us to die for our sin. No need to die for us to cleanse us. No need to cleanse us. He came back looking for us. He came back looking for us. And now He's coming back looking for you. I think this COVID-19 is God calling you to come back looking for Him. No, He came back looking for you. He empowered you. No, He empowered you. He gave you all the gifts. And He said, all that I have is yours. He filled you with everything that is needed to succeed in life. He filled with the Holy Spirit. And He said this, you are Cephas, you are a small stone, you are nobody. And upon this rock, Jesus Christ, I am Jesus Christ, I will build My church filled with small stones, filled with many nobodies. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell cannot prevail against each and every one of our lives. Cannot. I want to tell you something, this church will continue to go on if we stay close to God. If we serve God, if we develop a godly character, and God will fulfill what He has promised each and every one of us, if we just obey what He tells us, especially in a Christ-centric way. Forgetting things that are wrong, doing things that are right. If you just believe, obey. If you fall, the Bible says, a good man, a righteous man, fall 7 times, take himself, and come back to God. I don't care how many times you fall, as long as you come back to God. If you just obey, align yourself with Him, He has given you everything. No evil forces can defeat you. No COVID-19 can defeat you. No. And He will use you in ways unimaginable. Amen? Musician, please. We're going to spend just a few minutes, okay? We are still very early. We want you to just worship God. Worship this great God. Thank Him. Thank Him for our life. Thank Him for dying on the cross of Calvary for our life. Thank Him and just tell Him, God, You are a great God. COVID-19 is scary. No. God is scarier. God is scarier. God is more powerful. God is more powerful. We are fasting. We are praying that COVID-19 will become a nothing, like a flu. Can? Yes. Nothing is impossible. But first, God said, I want you to worship Me. I inhabit the praises of My people. You want God to help your family? I inhabit the praises of My people. You want God to deliver you from the trial? I inhabit the praises of My people. Shall we all stand up? Let's sing.
Arise, hallelujah, in the presence of my enemies.
What is in your hand? Worship God.
I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna see in the middle of the storm. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated.
The King is alive. The King is alive.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes.
You are just one song away from a deliverance. You are just one song away from a defeated life. And I mean it. Look at Jesus. Know who He is. And worship Him. Worship Him. We'll sing one more time. And you really worship God. I raise a hallelujah.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm.
Those 170 to 80 people that are fasting right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I know there is a 1 month fast and it's going to be difficult. But God, our focus is on you. And I pray that God, you will just hallow this fasting. We just consecrate our fasting. And God, we pray that we will develop great spiritual exercise by seeking your face, meditating upon your word, receiving revelation from you. And God, defeating the enemy that is coming upon our family, coming upon the country, coming upon our business, coming upon our life, coming upon our career, coming upon our health. Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that God, you will defeat the enemy. And we call upon you right now to honor our fast and to remember our fast. We humble ourselves before you in our fasting. We thank you. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, you will just remove every infection from this church of the COVID-19. Remove right now. Remove. If my people will humble themselves, God, you will remove everything. You will remove right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Thank you very much. God bless you. Have a